So I came across a blog post this past week that I would say has gone semi-viral. It's spread around to a number of different sites. Lots of people are sharing it. And it's written by a pastor who is also a blogger. And it's in the form of a letter. The title of the piece is, "Dear Offended Christian, from a Really Tired Christian." And as I read this piece, I found myself resonating with not all, but much of what the writer was saying. And as he spelled out what he was tired of, he used phrase after phrase after phrase to make his point. And as he did, I found myself agreeing more and more. Here are some of the points that he makes after addressing his fictional reader of his letter. "I'm tired of hearing you tell gay people that they can't simultaneously be both gay and Christian." Yes. "I'm tired of religious folk who seem to want small government everywhere except the bedroom and the bathroom." Yes. "I'm tired of you being more outraged by red coffee cups and department store restrooms than by poverty and racism and homelessness and gun violence in our crumbling school system." Yes. "I'm tired of followers of Jesus who don't seem interested in even cracking open a book to see what we've learned about the brain and the body in 2,000 years. Yes. "I'm tired of reminding you that the number of times Jesus spoke about gender identity and sexual orientation in the Gospels is zero, and that the number of times the Scriptures speak of addressing the needs of those trapped in poverty and injustice is over 2,100. Yes. "I'm tired of scientific ignorance being treated as if it were a Christian virtue. Yes. "I'm tired of a church which seems to be so ambivalent towards the teachings and example of Jesus. Yes. "I'm tired of waiting for you to show up in this world and actually show the freaking love of Jesus in the way that he did and told you to, without excuses or caveats or theological tap dancing to avoid it. Yes. "I'm tired of having to explain to people that although I am a Christian, I'm not that type of Christian, the kind that is generous with damnation and stingy with grace. Yes. "I'm tired of a Christianity that is making me more and more embarrassed to be associated with it. Yes." As if you can't tell, I loved reading this post. All that he really needed to add was something about pizza and beer and donuts being health food, and that Stephen Colbert and John Stewart were simultaneously announcing their dual candidacy for president. I would have been leaping from the rafters, shouting hallelujah to the end of my days. And then I stopped. Because I realized that however well-intentioned the words may have been, the words pointing out the judgmentalism of some Christians sounded, at least to me, a bit judgmental. By calling out a subgroup that just doesn't seem to get it, at least according to the views of this post, the gap of polarization and demonization only widens. And the capitulation to our dominant culture increases, where we are being torn apart more and more by conflicting opinions and convictions. And rather than hearing those opponents and inviting them to the table in conversation and connection, which would be my preferred view of how society can flourish and be made whole. And then I reflected even further, because I then realized by making that assumption and assessment, I was judging the author for not affirming my vision of how society should be. And therefore, I was raising the importance of my vision above his. It's a vicious cycle. It is so easy to be blinded by the right. Jesus knew this all too well. In the society he was living in, there was increasing polarization between different factions, all claiming to have the right hand of justice, the right hand of truth on their side. And Jesus steps into that context with some powerful words. The context is actually the verse prior to the beginning of our scripture reading. In verse 36 of Luke, Jesus says, "Be compassionate as your Father is compassionate." And into that context, Jesus piles on one statement upon another image, upon another statement, and another image to bring that point home. Do not judge. Do not condemn. Forgive. Give. When Jesus says, do not judge, he's not necessarily saying, do not make judgments in life. For example, the stove is hot, therefore we ought not to touch the stove so as not to get burned. That's making a judgment call in life. And we make them all the time. And sometimes they are very helpful and even life-saving. But the sense of what Jesus is communicating here is the difference between making judgments and being judgmental. Evaluating other people and their beliefs based on how they match up or don't match up with our own. And as a result, judging those people as either equal or lesser to us as a result. Jesus brings the point home by giving an example that's right out of everyday life. When he says, so often we may say, friend, let me take that speck out of your eye. Highlighting that judgmentalism and the corresponding lack of self-awareness often can reveal itself in altruistic clothing, in the guise of helping someone else see their faults by, quote, speaking the truth in love. Have you ever had that kind of that truth spoken to you in love? So often in our lives, all that means is that we are looking at someone else and their faults while remaining blind to our own shortcomings, our own limits, our own fallibility. It's so easy to be blinded by what we think is right. Why is that? I don't know. But I wonder if it's less about language and less about a perceived legalism and more about love. What if it comes not from our inability to hold the tension of conflicting viewpoints while maintaining a relational connection? What if it comes from our inability to receive and embrace the foundational truth that is the foundation of our lives, that resides at the core of our being? That at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, every day, we are loved. We are accepted. We are welcomed. We are embraced. No strings attached, no questions asked, just as we are, right where we are, even with all of our opinions and convictions. And that this love is what gives us value and dignity as human beings. I wonder if we felt more secure and at peace with that foundation, that core reality in our lives, the less we would compare ourselves to others as a way to measure our value and our worth, which if you're like me, we so often do. If we aren't spending our time comparing ourselves to others and comparing our opinions and convictions to others, we can actually hold our opinions and convictions more lightly within ourselves. Not less fully, but with a lighter touch, because those opinions and convictions aren't defining who we are. And from that, We can hold those opinions and convictions more likely with those with whom we disagree. Because in the light of that love, we can see that behind every perspective is a person. Living under the power of comparison weighs us down and slowly diminishes our natural and innate capacity to show compassion. But what about prophetic voices? What about speaking truth to power? Where is there space to voice convictions that society needs to hear that would benefit our well-being as a society? Again, I wonder if it's not so much a matter of the head or a matter of the heat of passion and conviction, but of the heart. By sharing convictions not as a way to blow off steam or to get frustrations out of our system or to prove somehow that we're right because we no longer have to prove anything, but rather to share those convictions from a heart of passion and compassion for the benefit of all people, not just those we disagree with, but even our supposed enemies. As one of my former pastors and mentors, Paul Watermolder, is fond of saying, it is always better to love than to be right. How do we respond in a world and in a culture that is so polarized, that is tearing itself apart through these kinds of differences? Might I suggest a few pages from one of the greatest pieces of literature in human history? The Brothers Karamazov by Dostoevsky. And in the story of the Grand Inquisitor that is told as a fictional story meant to make a very real and powerful point, where Jesus returns to earth and begins doing what Jesus does, which is sharing unconditional love to all people, regardless of religion or race or any of those distinctions, and who actually reaches out and heals people until the Grand Inquisitor comes in, the leader of the religious establishment, and grabs Jesus and jails him. And then in the jail cell, reprimands him for all the ways that his mission, his vision, fell short. In the ways that he didn't succeed, that this unconditional love and free and egalitarian kind of community and society ultimately in real life just isn't ever going to work. And how the religious authorities came in and actually had to correct his work and establish their own authority is the way for people to know who God really is and to know their place in society. And he reads him act after act of the ways that he felt short, judging him again and again and again until the point where he finally says, and for all of this, you are going to be burned at the stake tomorrow. What do you have to say in response to all that I have shared with you? What's your response? Throughout the entire ordeal, Jesus sat in stillness and silence and simply listened to the inquisitor. And after the inquisitor asks his last question, Jesus simply stands up and walks directly towards him and wraps his arms around him and kisses him on, as Dostoevsky describes, his cold and bloodless lips. How might we engage all people including those with whom we disagree, in humble awareness both of ourselves and their selves, and embrace them in grace and truth and love, no matter what they may feel or think, politically or theologically or sociologically. How might we not be blinded by the right and instead enlightened by the love? Amen.